Welcome to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving and are enjoying the day after. A couple weeks ago, at a glamorous Hollywood-style celebrity event in Silicon Valley, Professor Adam Riess of Johns Hopkins University and the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore picked up another award. He and fellow astrophysicist Saul Perlmutter of the University of California, Berkeley, and Brian Schmidt of Australian National University were awarded the 2015 Breakthrough Prize in Fundamental Physics. The same trio was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics in 2011 for providing evidence that the universe is expanding at an accelerating rate. I spoke with Professor Adam Riess in 2011, before he won the Nobel, about the theory he developed in 1998 called dark energy, the force believed to be accelerating the universe's expansion. I began by asking Riess to set the scene and help us understand the alternate theory of why the universe seems to be expanding.
So about 13 years ago, we made the very surprising observation that the universe is not only expanding, that's something we've known for a long time, but that the expansion is increasing all the time so that the universe is actually accelerating. And this is very surprising. It's as surprising as if you took your car keys and tossed them in the air, you'd expect them to fall back to the ground. And if they took off and went up, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
And we were surprised as well. But we have attributed this to a mysterious kind of energy called dark energy that has the peculiar property of having repulsive gravity. So what you learned—
Kind of anti-gravity.
Yeah. You know, I don't mind that term. It's a very science fiction-y term. But what you probably learned in high school when you took science class was that gravity is this attractive force.
Mm-hmm.
But that was only true up through Isaac Newton. When Albert Einstein revised our understanding of gravity in the early part of the last century, a theory that he called general relativity, it turned out that he discovered there could be another kind of gravity, which would be repulsive gravity. And at the time, he suggested that this repulsive gravity existed and was holding the universe in delicate balance between the normal attractive gravity that we're familiar with. But he later discarded it once he learned that the universe was expanding, but the idea has always remained. And so when we made this observation that the universe is accelerating, we began attributing it to this mysterious dark energy. But there were other ideas as well, and one of the ideas was that instead we only had the illusion that the universe was filled with dark energy because perhaps, as strange as this sounds, we lived near the center of a giant empty region in space. And by giant, I mean really giant, about 8 billion light years across. And that because of this empty region, the universe would give this illusion that it was accelerating and filled with dark energy.
Because essentially there weren't enough things around us to be exerting gravity on us to hold us together.
That's right. That's right. So we would have less of the normal attractive gravity because there would be less of this matter around us. But the cosmological data has gotten so good in recent years that it's no longer possible to bring the data into agreement with all ideas out there. And this is one of those ideas that we believe is now no longer consistent with the data, that dark energy remains our best working hypothesis of what's going on.
So what have you done? You said the cosmological data as if you had nothing to do with organizing that data.
Right.
What is it you've done?
So actually, I could say the last time I was on this show a few years ago, we were talking about upgrading the Hubble Space Telescope and whether it was too aged or whether it was worth repairing one more time and how that would work, because there was some question as to whether NASA would do that. Well, fortunately for us, the astronauts did return in 2009, and they put a brand new camera on Hubble. And that new camera was very powerful and able to measure the expansion rate of the universe to much greater precision than we ever had before.
It's the wide-angle field camera number 3. What does it do?
Right. So it takes pictures of the sky, very wide-angle pictures for the Hubble Space Telescope, but it does it at a special wavelength called infrared light. This is light that we can't see with our eyes, but is associated usually in everyday experience with the glow from warm bodies. So, for example, if you've ever seen night vision goggles, that's what people are using those for, is to observe the infrared radiation that is emitted by the warmth of people's bodies. But in the universe, it turns out that because space is expanding so quickly, light, which is emitted, maybe at normal wavelengths, optical wavelengths that we could see with our eye, gets stretched by the expansion of space. That is, it gets shifted to the red, longer wavelengths, something we call the red shift. And so much of that light is red shifted to infrared wavelengths, which we can't see, but this special camera on Hubble is very good at seeing.
Is there a simple way of explaining why being able to take very accurate, wide pictures of the universe gets you to an understanding of the acceleration of the universe?
Yes. So, unfortunately, we've never found some kind of speedometer on the universe that we could consult. So we have to do it the old-fashioned way. We actually have to make measurements of the universe, of its relative size at different points in the history of the universe. And we do that by looking at objects in the universe that can give us those measurements. And so my area of expertise has been observing exploding stars called supernovae. They're out there in space. We can see them very far away, and we can measure how far away they are. And when we measure this redshift of their light, we can tell how much the universe has expanded since the light left the supernova.
And so you've been able to get a much more accurate reading of acceleration because you're getting more accurate pictures?
So in this case, the supernovae are kind of like if somebody handed you a ruler with markings on it and numbers on it, but they didn't tell you what the units were. So you'd say, are these centimeters? Are these millimeters? Are these inches? And they said, I don't know. So you would go around making relative measurements with that ruler. But at some point, you would want to know what the real length is of those units, so you could really calibrate anything that you've measured with it. So we came up with a technique for doing that by observing in galaxies which hosted supernovae certain kinds of blinking stars. They're called Cepheid variables. And these are the same kinds of stars that Edwin Hubble himself, at the turn of the previous century, had first used to calibrate the expansion of the universe. But we did this in a more accurate way using their infrared light from this new camera to make a measurement that had about 3% precision. So previous observations were good to maybe only 10%. So we've about tripled the precision with which we can measure the expansion of the universe.
And why is that important?
Well, so different theories about what is causing the universe to accelerate predict different rates of expansion today. You could sort of think of dark energy as almost the kind of fuel that you're putting in your gas tank. You know, is it high octane or low octane fuel? How much acceleration are you getting for a certain amount of it? And so different theories tell us how fast our car will now be going, in this case our universe, as a result of this kind of fuel. We don't know what kind of fuel is in the engine of the universe. We don't know what this dark energy is and what its physics is, but we do the best we can to try to determine how powerful this fuel is. And in particular, at some point, we can rule out some ideas of how it should behave.
That's Professor Adam Riess from Johns Hopkins University and the Space Telescope Science Institute here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about dark energy, the force believed to be causing the acceleration of the universe's expansion. This month, Riess and fellow researchers were awarded the 2015 Breakthrough Prize in Fundamental Physics. I asked Riess, how fast is the universe expanding?
Well, we use funny kind of units that that most people wouldn't use. So in our funny units, it's expanding at 74 kilometers per second per megaparsec. And now a megaparsec is about 3 million light years. So what that means is every time you go out another 3 million light years, the universe is expanding another 74 kilometers per second in speed. So it's an expansion I guess I could liken it to if you had a loaf of raisin bread and you put it in the oven to rise. All the galaxies are like raisins on the loaf of raisin bread. And we live on some raisin, and we look at the other raisins around us, they appear to be moving away from us. But if you look at the more distant raisins, they will appear to recede from us faster because there's more dough between us and them. So we look at these nearby raisins and the faraway raisins to tell how the universe is expanding, and we calibrate essentially how often this loaf will double in size.
But how does this disprove the void theory, the idea that we're in an area that just doesn't have much gravity going for it?
Right. So the idea of the void theory required one to sculpt the landscape of matter around us in such a way to fit the observed acceleration of the universe. And in doing that, you end up requiring that the universe is actually expanding more slowly today than we actually see. And so at some point, which has been recently, now that our measurements are good enough, we can rule out that the universe is expanding that slowly. So that is to say, dark energy, this sort of high-octane fuel in the gas tank of the universe, versus, a foot dragging on the brake, some other explanation, gives a different quantitative prediction about how fast the universe expands. And we're actually able to make a measurement precise enough that we can now test between those hypotheses.
Okay. And aside from the precision, since you've worked on the assumption of dark energy at least for like a decade and a half, what now do you understand about the universe better than you did a year or so ago?
Right. I would say what we have learned since the discovery of the acceleration over the last 15 years has been a growing confidence that it looks more and more like what Einstein had first suggested back in 1916. We are now to the point where all the data appears consistent with Einstein's explanation and not consistent with a lot of the alternatives. There are still other alternatives, so there's still a lot of work ahead. But we've made a lot of progress in the last 13 years or so.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it.
Sure, no problem.
Johns Hopkins astrophysicist and senior scientist at the Space Telescope Science Institute, Adam Rees. He and his colleagues won the 2015 Breakthrough Prize for Fundamental Physics. We spoke about his theory of dark energy in 2011. We got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. There's more ahead. Stay with us on 88.1.